Keeping up with the future, especially when it comes to tech, sometimes feels like you're trying to catch a runaway train.
Totally, yeah. Like just when you think you've finally wrapped your head around the latest gadget, bam, there's like five new things to figure out.
It can be overwhelming. And that's exactly why we're here today, taking this deep dive. We want to cut through the noise, all the hype, and focus on something truly important.
That's right. We're tackling a big question, one that a lot of people are asking these days. What will the world of telecom look like in 20 years?
20 years, that's a huge leap.
It is. But here's the thing. We're not just gazing into a crystal ball and making guesses. We're actually diving into a concrete, detailed vision for the future of mobile here in Canada.
This vision.
Yeah, it was just laid out today, April 7th, 2025, in a brand new paper. And that's what we're digging into.
So, what's the mission today? What are we hoping to achieve in this deep dive?
I think there's a few things. First, we want to really unpack this proposed future, get into the nuts and bolts of it, you know?
Nuts and bolts. I like that.
Second, we want to understand why it matters. Like, why should you, the listener, care about this? And we're going to draw on some really interesting sources for this stuff about innovation, digital transformation, really putting Canada's tech scene into perspective.
So we're not just talking about downloading movies faster, right?
No, not at all. This paper argues for a fundamental shift, one that could, if things go right, benefit everyone. I'm talking about us regular Canadians, the people setting the rules, and all the mobile companies, the big guys, the smaller ones, even the virtual operators.
So this is about making the entire pie bigger, not just fighting over slices.
Precisely. But to get to that future, we need to understand where we are now,
Yeah.
right? And the current landscape, well, it's complicated.
Okay, so paint us a picture. What's going on in Canada's mobile world right now?
This paper doesn't sugarcoat things. It talks about structural challenges that go way back to the Telecom Act and the Radio Communication Act. Those are the laws that basically govern all communication in Canada.
These are kind of like the granddaddies of all the rules, right?
Exactly. And what they've done is create this system where we have essentially two main regulators. You've got the CRTC,
Which is?
the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission, and then you've got ISED.
Used to be Industry Canada, right?
That's the one. And the paper points out that having these two players can sometimes lead to different, even conflicting perspective.
Oh, I see. So it's like having two chefs in the kitchen, but they don't always agree on the recipe.
A perfect analogy. And that means the industry might find itself in this weird position where they could be appealing decisions to the CRTC, to the courts, even to the government's cabinet.
Okay, so lots of places to fight a decision you don't like. But what does that actually mean in practice? Can you give us an example?
Absolutely. The paper uses roaming as an example. So, when you're traveling and your phone connects to a network that isn't yours, that's roaming.
Happens to me all the time when I'm visiting family out in the Maritimes.
Right. So, ISED generally favors letting the companies negotiate these roaming agreements themselves. But the CRTC has a different approach. They give regional mobile operators something called a right of initiative.
Which means.
It means they can be more proactive in pushing for specific roaming deals. So right there, you see two different philosophies clashing.
Interesting. So it's not just about the specific issue like roaming, but also about how these two regulators see the role of the market.
Exactly. And that difference extends to other areas too. The paper also talks about how ISED and the CRTC often disagree on how prices for mobile services should be set. ISED usually prefers to let companies negotiate prices amongst themselves.
Let the market decide, so to speak.
Right. But the CRTC, they've sometimes pushed for setting rates in advance, what they call ex ante regulation. It's a totally different approach.
Okay, so that's roaming, that's pricing. What else?
Well, there's also the whole issue of mobile virtual network operators, the MVNOs. These are the companies that offer mobile services but don't actually own the physical networks.
So they kind of rent space from the big guys.
Exactly. Now, ISED, they've generally been in favor of giving MVNOs more room to operate, more flexibility. Their idea is that this will increase competition, which is good for everyone.
More competition usually means better prices for us.
Exactly. But again, the existing regulatory structure, particularly the CRTC's rulings, can make things quite complicated for these MVNOs.
Okay, and just to add another layer to this whole thing, didn't we mention earlier that IS also manages and auctions off spectrum?
You did, that's right. Those are the radio frequencies that all our mobile signals travel on. And then once ISS has allocated the spectrum, the CRTC comes in and sets the rules for how it can be used. So you can see how all these responsibilities overlap, sometimes even collide.
It's like a giant game of Tetris where the pieces aren't always the right shape.
You got it. And the paper puts it pretty bluntly. Currently, the Canadian wireless industry is more complicated than international best practices.
Ouch. So not exactly a glowing review.
No. And that's precisely why this paper argues that we need to consider a fundamentally different approach. And that's where open access comes in.
Okay, now we're getting to the heart of the matter. Open access. It sounds, well, pretty open. But what does it actually mean in this context?
It's about simplifying things, really. The paper suggests using all the advances we've made in spectrum auctions and market design to create a much simpler, more efficient system.
So imagine our listeners hearing this for the first time. How would you explain open access to them?
Well, it envisions a fundamental restructuring of how the mobile market operates in Canada. Right now, we've got the big four national providers and then a bunch of regional players.
And this system would change that.
It would. The paper even suggests that open access could act as a kind of merger remedy. You know, if some companies merge, this system would ensure there's still real competition in the wholesale market.
So even if there are fewer companies, there's still a level playing field for new players to emerge.
Exactly. And that, in theory, leads to a bunch of benefits for you, the listener. The paper mentions things like additional infrastructure investment, increased competition, innovation, and lower rates.
Okay, now you're talking my language. Lower rates, I'm listening. But how does all this actually work? What's the magic sauce here?
The core of it is a trading platform. Imagine it like a stock market. But instead of trading stocks, mobile operators are buying and selling access to network capacity.
So like a continuous option.
That's it. And it's all happening in real time. Now, obviously, someone needs to oversee this marketplace.
Otherwise, it's just chaos. So who's in charge?
The proposal is for an independent market operator. This would be a completely separate entity, their job, to maximize what the paper calls as bid social welfare.
Okay, break that down for us non-economists.
Basically, it means making sure the network resources are used in the most efficient way possible. They'd take into account things like network capacity, overall demand, all that stuff. The idea is that this system can finally untangle what the paper calls, and this is a great phrase, the intractable administrative Gordian knot of roaming and network access regulations.
Intractable administrative Gordian knot. It does have a ring to it.
It does. So instead of all these individual negotiations and regulatory back and forths, you have this dynamic, constantly adjusting marketplace.
Fascinating.
The paper even talks about the possibility of spot and forward trading in network capacity. You could buy capacity for a specific neighborhood during rush hour, for example. This level of flexibility and precision could make the whole market much more efficient and competitive.
I see. So instead of trying to manage everything through complicated rules and regulations, you're using the power of the market to achieve those goals.
Precisely. And the paper really contrasts this open access model with traditional regulatory tools. You know, things like setting limits on how much spectrum one company can hold or making them build out their networks in specific areas. They argue that open access is just simpler and more effective.
Okay, I'm following.
Yeah.
But in this system, the big network owners, the ones with all the spectrum, they wouldn't just be able to hoard it all, right?
Right. They'd be obligated to sell a certain portion of their network capacity into this open access wholesale market. And then the independent operator would manage that market.
Okay. So more transparency, a level playing field. And what's the supposed outcome of all this?
A healthier industry overall. Less of what the paper calls costly rent seeking by incumbents.
Which, for our listeners who haven't studied economics, basically means companies using the rules to protect their position instead of competing on things like innovation and service.
Exactly. Now, I know when you hear about a new market mechanism, you might think, oh, great, more bureaucracy. But that's not the intention here at all.
They're actually trying to simplify things.
They are. They're very clear about that. They say this is about removing entry barriers and reducing the complexity of the status quo. They even quote the old saying, first do no harm, but then immediately counter it with, change is needed to address a broken status quo. Turn crisis into opportunity.
Well, strong words, so they're not messing around.
Nope. And the paper lays out how this model could help the government achieve some of its long-standing goals for telecom. You know, things like enabling competition, lower rates, investment incentives, administrative predictability, and simplicity. These are all things the government has been talking about for years.
It seems like they've really thought this through.
They have. The paper even says that the details of open access have been thoroughly developed and tested. They mention research on empirical testing in an open source platform that's available globally. So this isn't just some pie in the sky idea. There's real substance behind it.
Color me intrigued. But I gotta ask, how does the bidding process work in this open access market? It sounds pretty complex.
Well, the companies would submit what they call persistent, piecewise, linear, downward-sloping net demand curves.
Okay, you lost me there.
I know, it's a mouthful.
Yeah.
But basically, it means each company would say how much capacity they're willing to buy at different prices. Like, we'll buy this much at this price, a bit less if it goes up, and so on.
So they're showing their hand, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. And then the platform does its magic.
By magic, you mean?
It calculates the prices and quantities that maximize social welfare. It's like finding the perfect balance point where everyone gets what they need and the system is running as efficiently as possible. And to keep things transparent, all that data, the prices, the quantities, even how sensitive demand is to price changes, would be published every hour.
No hiding the ball. I like that. So in the end, does this open access system achieve what it sets out to do?
Well, the paper argues that it does. They say it creates an efficient market mechanism with significant potential gains for society, and that it should give people reassurance and confidence that this thing can actually work.
So it's not just about making the companies happy. It's about benefiting all of us.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
And it's designed to align the incentives of the companies with the needs of society. So in theory, everyone wins. Remember that bigger pie we talked about?
Bigger pie, right.
This system is supposed to make that pie as big as possible. And it's not a rigid one-size-fits-all system either. The paper specifically mentions that it can accommodate special conditions, like indigenous rights related to spectrum.
Which is absolutely crucial. Now, one last thing that I'm curious about. This whole idea of infrastructure sharing, it's been a bit of a hot potato for a while. How does open access fit into that?
It's a great question. The paper actually argues that open access allows for sharing infrastructure without reducing competition. In fact, they even suggest it could make mergers more appealing because you could still have robust competition even with fewer companies. And that might become even more important as technologies like AI come into play.
AI, yeah. It feels like that's going to change everything.
Yeah, it might. And all those powerful AI systems are going to need incredibly robust networks. So this idea of sharing infrastructure while maintaining competition could become more and more important.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the nuts and bolts of open access. But the paper also takes a step back and looks at the bigger picture, the whole digital economy. Why is this Open Access Foundation so important in that context?
It all comes down to where value is being created in today's digital world. The paper describes this pyramidic structure with big tech at the top. Those are the companies that provide all those services we rely on, you know, social media, streaming, online shopping, all that.
The companies that basically run our lives these days.
Pretty much. And the paper argues that there's a growing concern about the base of this pyramid, the underlying telecom infrastructure. They suggest that this foundation is becoming increasingly porous.
Porous? Like it's got holes in it.
In a way, yeah. There are concerns that there's not enough investment in upgrades and maintenance. And here's the key point. Those fancy services at the top, they rely entirely on a strong and reliable network at the bottom.
So if the foundation crumbles, the whole pyramid could collapse.
That's the worry. And that's why this paper is making such a strong case for open access. They believe it could make Canada's telecom sector more future-proof, resilient, competitive, and market-driven, and their ultimate vision, a foundation for innovation that will be the envy of the world.
Ambitious, for sure.
It is. And the paper ends with this very pointed quote. An open access foundation is increasingly important because the digital ecosystem's value generation has shifted significantly over the last few years. It's a reminder that the value isn't just in the physical networks anymore, it's in all the amazing things that happen on top of them.
And for those things to thrive,
yeah,
we need that solid foundation.
We do.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. We've just taken you on a deep dive into a potentially revolutionary proposal for Canada's mobile industry. The move towards a more open and competitive landscape, all built around this concept of open access.
And the big idea here is creating a dynamic marketplace for mobile capacity, managed by an independent operator. This, in theory, should lead to more competition among providers, encourage more investment in infrastructure, and ultimately lead to lower prices and more innovation for you, the consumer.
So as you go about your day, I want you to think about this. How could a more dynamic and competitive mobile landscape, one built on these principles of open access, change your life?
Hmm.
Think beyond just saving a few bucks on your phone bill. How could a stronger digital foundation shape your future in our increasingly interconnected world? It's something to ponder, for sure.
It is. Food for thought.
Absolutely.